If you want to have direct communication with God, you don't need to wait for technology to make a way for that to happen. Skip Heitzig says all you need to do is get down on your knees.
Technology is improving our communication with each other. It doesn't help in our communication with God. Prayer is still the fastest way to connect with heaven. You can't get Microsoft Prayer 3.0. You can't email heaven. Though some have sort of tried it. Over in Israel, there's an outfit where they say you can email a prayer. They'll print it out, fold it up, and stick it in the Wailing Wall, the western wall of the Temple Mount, so that you'll be represented there. But the fact of the matter is, it's the basic open-heartedness of a direct communication that I have with God. It's not email, it's knee-mail.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time.
You know that series of Dummies books, the one that's supposed to help you understand things like setting up email accounts or how to glue popsicle sticks together? Well, they also have a title for prayer called Christian Prayer for Dummies. So if you've ever wanted to learn how to pray, you could look through that book, or you could look at the instructions Jesus shared with His disciples. And that's what we'll do today with Skip Heitzig. But before we start, we wanted to share with you details about a new study from Lenya Heitzig and Penny Rose that will teach you how to live intimately and fearlessly with God. Skip?
Fear, anxiety, and worry can paralyze our spiritual lives. If you're looking for resources to give you practical, biblical steps to walk away from fear, then I want you to know about Live Fearlessly and Live Intimately. These are resources written by Penny Rose and my wife, Lenya. And these studies are designed for women to help develop a stronger, more intimate relationship with the Lord. Here's how you can order these biblical studies.
Your life is not moving any slower. From sunrise to sunset, you often go from somewhere between hectic and frantic. Your calendar is full, but your spiritual tank can get empty. You need fresh life. Take 20 minutes a day and begin the new Bible study, Live Fearlessly, from Lenya Heitzig and Penny Rose.
You can live fearlessly. Lenya Heitzig and Penny Rose take you down the path to freedom from fear in their new Bible study series through the book of Joshua. Take just 20 minutes a day with these studies, and you'll take steps to living fearlessly.
In 20 minutes a day, a lot can happen. Or if it's wasted, nothing can happen. But if you'll take 20 minutes a day and apply them to the new Live Fearlessly Bible study by Lenya Heitzig and Penny Rose, you'll begin to find a way to apply biblical principles of freedom from fear. And now you can get both books in the Fresh Life series for only $25. That's Live Fearlessly and Live Intimately for a special low price of $25 for both books. Or purchase each book separately for only $14.99 from the Connection Resource Center. Just call 1-800-922-1888. Or you can order online at connectionradio.org.
You don't have to read a book for dummies in order to understand how to pray. All you need to do is learn from how God Himself prayed when He was here on earth as Jesus Christ. Stay with us to learn more.
And make the connection.
As you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, we'll join Skip Heitzig as he gives us a little history on all those computers we rely on to run our lives today.
The first computer was built in 1944. It was called the ENIAC, E-N-I-A-C. It's an acronym that stands for something very long. This computer, this primitive computer, took up more space than 18 semi-truck trailers. It weighed more than 17 Chevrolet Camaros. It consumed 140,000 watts of electricity and could only perform 5 basic arithmetic instructions per second. If you step forward in time to the 486 microprocessor, which now is a dinosaur even, which is the size of a dime on a piece of silicone chip, weighs less than a package of Sweet and Low, takes 2 watts of electricity, and can perform 54 million instructions per second, we see how technology is amazingly on the increase, changing rapidly. I got a birthday card a few years ago that when you open it up, it has a little song that it plays. Ding, 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 ding. It was kind of cute. And I found out that that birthday card had more computer power in it than all of the computer power that existed on Earth prior to 1950. Just right there. So technology is advancing and improving our lifestyle and our communications. If you just think back in time, the last couple thousand years, from the Greek runners to the Pony Express to the wire telegraph to the invention of the telephone to the fax machine to the cell phone to the internet, we have an amazing ability to communicate with each other very rapidly and completely. Consider this. It took 5 months for Queen Isabella to hear that Christopher Columbus discovered America. It took 2 weeks for Europe to discover, to find out that President Abraham Lincoln had been assassinated. Now, we watch things instantaneously, live, on the television. The other night, I was instant messaging on my computer a friend of mine from Scotland who was telling me what was going on in the neighborhood as it was happening. Instantaneous communication. Technology is improving our communication with each other. It doesn't help in our communication with God. Prayer is still the fastest way to connect with heaven. You can't get Microsoft Prayer 3.0. You can't email heaven. Though some have sort of tried it. Over in Israel, there's an outfit where they say you can email a prayer. They'll print it out, fold it up, and stick it in the Wailing Wall, the western wall of the Temple Mount, so that you'll be represented there. But the fact of the matter is, it's the basic open-heartedness of a direct communication that I have with God. It's not email, it's knee-mail. It's our prayer life and relationship with God. And this prayer that we're dealing with, Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, we call it the Lord's Prayer. It's really the disciples' prayer. That's our template. That's our model prayer. That's how our communication heavenward is to be modeled after. Now, last week, we looked at part one. This week, we look at part two. In part one, we discovered it was theocentric. It had everything to do with God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed is your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. The second part of the prayer is anthropocentric. It centers on man, on us. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. You ought to know that praying for yourself is not unspiritual, nor is it selfish. We're encouraged to do it. Jesus said, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. So we're invited to hear to pray for ourselves. But keep this in mind. God has the right to answer you any way he wants. You might say he has editing rights over your prayers. God will say yes sometimes. Sometimes God will say no. Hey, that's an answer. You say, God never answers my prayer. Sure he does. He may say no or wait. We don't like those answers, but they're answers. I heard about a little boy. He was saying his bedtime prayers, and as he was saying them, he said, Lord, bless mommy and daddy and little Jimmy and my two cats and bless the doggy and then he cocked his head back and real loud, he said, and God, give me a new bicycle. And his mom said, son, you don't have to yell. God isn't deaf. And the little boy said, Mom, I know God isn't deaf, but Grandma's in the next room and she's hard of hearing. Figured God will use her to get me the bike. As we continue in our prayer, And we pick it up now in verse 11. We've already started seeing that we start prayer with where God is and who God is, our Father in heaven. And then the preeminence of his name, hallowed be your name. The prayer for his kingdom, your kingdom come. The practice of his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now we continue with the provision for our needs. Look at that phrase. Give us this day our daily bread. Now admit it. For an American to pray this seems a little bit out of place. When was the last time you said, God, I just pray for my next meal? You know, we're on diets. Our prayers are usually, Lord, help me not to indulge. Keep me from eating mass quantities of lunch. So what does it mean to us? Give us this day our daily bread. Well, bread is a symbol of all that you need to sustain life. All that you need to sustain and maintain your existence could be summed up in the word daily bread. By the way, 3/4 of the Middle East 2,000 years ago, bread was their main staple item. So daily bread was tantamount to saying my daily meal or what I need to sustain my life this day. All right. This request shows us some very important truths. Number one, that God cares for our bodies. God cares for our physical bodies, that he would invite us to pray this way. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, God isn't preoccupied with our bodies like we are. He's not as concerned as we are. He doesn't place as much emphasis on the outward as he does the inward, but he is concerned. Look at the life of Jesus. He would often heal people of a disease, cure people of an illness or a lameness, feed the 5,000. He cares about our physical bodies. Not only does he provide for us, but have you ever stopped to think how God designed us with the capacity to enjoy what he's provided for us? He's given us things called taste buds or olfactory nerves. So we smell the bacon in the morning. We smell the hamburgers that's cooked on the grill. We put it in our mouth and we go, oh, that's so good. He built those pleasure sensations within us. You know, he could have just designed us where we have this need to consume something and it could be just kind of flat tasting mud or mush and now we're sustained, it's like filling a tank. No, he built within us pleasure sensations when we do that. Second thing it teaches us, to live one day at a time. Notice, not give us this month our bottom line, but give us this day our daily bread. We never outgrow the need to trust God daily. Example, manna in the wilderness. You know how God provided for them. Bread came down from heaven and they went out every morning and they picked it up. And they had to go out every morning because the Bible says if they tried to store it up and take it for a few days at a time instead of every day, that it went bad on them. It got rotten. It started stinking. Worms and bugs started infesting it. It was a daily provision. Something else. Remember that God here promises and asks us to pray for daily provision. Give us this day our daily bread. We're praying for our needs here, not our greeds. He promises to meet our needs, not our greeds. Now, we might say here in America, Lord, you know that I really, really need a stereo, a new one, the best one that just came out. Well, it's nice if you have it, but you probably will live if you don't get it. It's not like you need it. He promises to provide our daily needs. Listen to Proverbs 30. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. What he's saying is, don't give me too little. Don't give me too much. You give me what you think I need, what is allotted to me. Paul wrote Timothy and he said, having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Ruth Graham, the wife of Billy Graham, reminds us that when we pray, God knows our needs, and God has the right to say yes or no. She said, if God had answered yes to all of my prayers, I would have married the wrong man several times. Several times. Also, this prayer gives proper place to God. When we say, give us this day our daily bread, we're acknowledging God's the source, that we depend upon Him. He supports us. Man can analyze the seed. We can look at it. We can see how it's formed, how it's made. But we can't produce a synthetic seed and have it grow. So no matter what we do, even scientifically, we recognize that God is our source. And this prayer brings that to focus. And number four, this prayer opens up our heart to the needy. Notice how it says, our Father, not my Father, give us this day our daily bread. You see, even in the personal pronouns and the personal adjectives that are being used, it helps us to remember that I have a relationship and a responsibility to others around me who may be in need in the body of Christ. Paul writes to the Galatians in chapter 6, verse 10, as we have the opportunity, he writes, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. In other words, I can share my daily bread with others who don't have it as I see the need. So we have a simple, straightforward request for provision. It's not selfish to pray this way. It's not unspiritual to pray this way. And what I love about it, it's right to the point. Short, sweet, no fluff, no hoopla, no complications, just give us this day our daily bread. Now, I wonder if a bureaucrat would have written the Lord's Prayer, what it would have sounded like. One person suggests, and I found this article, if a bureaucrat rewrote the Lord's Prayer, this little request, give us this day our daily bread, would sound something like this. We respectfully petition, request, and entreat that due and adequate provision be made this day and the date hereinafter subscribed for the satisfying of these petitioners' nutritional requirements and for the organizing of such methods of allocation and distribution as many as may be deemed necessary and proper to assure the reception by and for said petitioners of such quantities of baked cereal products as shall, in the judgment of the aforementioned petitioners, constitute a sufficient supply thereof. I sure like give us this day our daily bread a whole lot better. Simple prayer for simple people. Let's look at the next one. It's the pardon for our sins. Forgive us our debts. Now, you know, I'm sure, that he's speaking not about our debts with each other, but our debts before him. It's not like you can rack up a lot of debt on the credit card and just say, oh, well, forgive us our debts. The idea is that I have a debt before God because of my sin, and I'm asking God to forgive me. Why do we need to pray this? We need to pray this because we must always keep short accounts with God. We must clear the obstacles that would be between earth, us, and heaven, God. You say, no, wait a minute, Skip. I don't need to pray this. I'm a Christian already. I've been forgiven. I've been justified. That's true. If you're a Christian, you have been forgiven, all is past, but you still have a sin nature, you still blow it, you still need to confess your sins, you still need to keep short accounts with God by clearing that account. John said in 1 John chapter 1, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the idea. What I know I've done wrong to offend God today, I ask him to forgive me. Here's a good example, I think. Do you remember when Jesus at the Last Supper began to wash his disciples' feet? He went from follower to follower, and he got to Peter. And as he started to wash Peter's feet, Peter pulled back. And he said, trying to act like Joe spiritual, no, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. Thinking that Jesus would say, oh, Peter, at least you get it. But he didn't get it. Jesus said, Peter, if I don't wash you, you'll have no part with me. Then Peter swung the pendulum on the other side. He said, well, don't just wash my feet then, but my head, my hands, everything. He went nuts. This is what Jesus said to him. A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean. Here's the point. You come to Jesus Christ, you're bathed, you're cleansed, you're forgiven of your sins. But we walk through this world on a daily basis. We get defiled because of it. We get dirty feet. It's not like you need to be born again, again, and again, and again, and again. I had a guy say, I've been saved 4 times. No, you haven't. You get saved once, but you get dirty feet. And you need to say on a daily basis, Lord, as I look back over my day, I pray that you would forgive me of my debts. I confess this sin to you. But that's only the first part. Look at the second part. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. My asking God for forgiveness is intertwined with my willingness to forgive others who've sinned against me. So we have vertical forgiveness. We have horizontal forgiveness. My vertical forgiveness, flowing down from heaven to me, must be related to my willingness, my horizontal forgiveness, me forgiving others. Now go down to verse 14. It's all part of that thought. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Well, now we sort of have a problem here. And here's the problem. If when I receive Jesus Christ, I'm a new creation, old things have passed away, all things become new, I'm forgiven, I'm justified, what does verse 14 and 15 mean then? This is what I think it means. Yes, we've been forgiven, but the Bible also teaches that the Lord chastens his children. Have you ever heard that term? He chastens. He spanks us. Hebrews 12, the author says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And he scourges every son whom he receives. So the Lord will sometimes spank us or chasten us. An unforgiving heart and a bitter spirit will forfeit God's blessings and invite judgment, invite chastisement. The head of a British hospital once said something very fascinating. He said, you know, I could release half of my patients today if they knew they were forgiven. I could release half of them today if they knew they had forgiveness. Vertical forgiveness is connected to horizontal forgiveness. Here's the point. God forgives us. And one of the proofs we've been forgiven by God, one of the proofs we are God's children, is that we are willing to forgive others. Hey, you're a Christian. You love Christ. You love Him. You're committed to Him. Then how can you as a Christian who have been forgiven so much refuse to forgive people who've harmed you or hurt you or sinned against you?
When the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, He didn't hand them a book for dummies, but rather He shared with them a model for how to approach their loving Father in heaven. And we'll continue to learn from this example next time. But for now, we're just about out of time. But if you're a first-time listener, here's something we've saved just for you.
Persecution is never any fun, so if you'd rather just avoid it altogether, Skip Heitzig says there are two ways to make sure persecution never finds you.
There's really only two ways to escape persecution. Number one, go home and be with the Lord, that as you die, you go to heaven. You'll avoid persecution in heaven. Everybody's on your side. Second way to avoid persecution, say absolutely nothing as you live your life in this age.
Learn more about persecution and how we can stand strong in the face of it with this free message called A Firm Step and a Strong Back. This message is absolutely free to anyone who contacts us for the first time this month. So call us today at 1-800-922-1888 and get a free copy on CD. If this was your first time to join us here on The Connection, we'd love to hear from you and thank you for joining us with a free gift. So contact us today at 1-800-922-1888.
Now, if you'd like to pick up a copy of today's teaching on prayer, just call us at 1-800-922-1888 or visit us online at connectionradio.org.
Each copy is available on CD for just $6, including shipping. But if you can share just a little bit above that suggested amount, that would be a big help as we continue to reach out to new areas with God's Word through this broadcast. So call us today at 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org. And thank you for your support of The Connection.
And make the connection.
Still have a lot of ground to cover on our examination of prayer, so join us next time as Jesus shares with his disciples his own How to Pray book. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications.